Brad, for giving me the opportunity while I'm in my home area here to be able to share the word. I'm kind of a frustrated preacher. 3 years, I've only preached like four times. So I feel like a volcano ready to erupt. Are you guys ready to get blasted? You know, so it's so exciting. I love the church. I love the local church. I love what God is doing right here at Grace Point, right here in Utica. I just think it's so exciting. It's just so awesome. The last year, I got to intern and work with one of the leaders out at Bethel Church named Steve Backlund, and he travels all over the world, travels all over the United States into churches, and he's like encouraging the local church, encouraging the pastor, encouraging the leadership team of the church. And I got to travel with Steve some. And it was like, man, I just, you know, every time you step into a different local church, I would just get so excited about what the Holy Spirit was doing right there through that church, reaching that community, using those leaders, you know, and then watching Steve bring that encouragement, because we need it. We need to be encouraged. We never get enough encouragement, right? And there's plenty of things sometimes the enemy throws at us to try to discourage us. So I just love what Steve did. And it was so fun to be with him. In fact, it was about a year ago today that I took my first trip with Steve. And we went to Texas, Graham, Texas. And I'd never been to Texas before, so that was fun. And nobody else signed up to go with Steve but me. So I was like the entire ministry team. So Steve, like, you know, he preaches his message. And he's like, I'd like to ask the ministry team to come forward, Curtis. It was me, all by myself. You know, usually he has a whole team of people. And I was the only one that signed up, which was super fun, too, because then I got to spend more time with Steve, just he and I, and get to know him a little bit better. But, yeah, I felt a little bit of pressure. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, because it was like, you know, I really wanted to hear what is the Holy Spirit wanting to say, or what does he want to do in this little church in Graham, Texas? So I'm in the hotel room on Sunday morning, and I'm like, Jesus, you've got to show me something. I'm the entire ministry team. When Steve calls the team up, it's just going to be me. Please, you've got to show me something that'll be a blessing to the congregation. So I'm praying in the hotel room, and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to pray for a brother and a sister in the church. They're young, and they have learning disabilities, and I want you to pray for them. I was like, whew, that's a good word. It's pretty specific, you know. So sure enough, Steve calls me up at the end and says, you know, has the Lord shown you anything? And so I didn't want to embarrass this brother and sister, so I didn't say anything about learning disabilities. But I said, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for a brother and sister, and I feel like maybe they're around 10 years old, something like that. Well, all of the children were in Sunday school. They weren't even in the sanctuary. And I said, if you know who they might be, you know, could you go get them out of Sunday school and bring them in, because I feel like I'm supposed to pray with them. So, you know, nobody moved, nothing, you know, nothing happened. So I said, I'll be available when the service is done, and if you know who they are, just bring them up to me, and I'll pray with them. So we finished the service, and I had like immediately five different people from the congregation come up and say, we know exactly who this brother and sister are, and they're not here today. They were on the way to church with their grandma, and her car broke down. So they didn't make it, but we know exactly who they are. And I said, you think you could get them to come tonight at the Sunday night service? And they said, yeah, we'll try to get them to come tonight. And all five of these people, and they were coming to me at different times, not at the same time, they said, yeah, they need prayer because they have learning disabilities. And then I got to hear more of their story, which was this boy and girl's mom and dad had so severely abused them that both mom and dad were in prison for life. And they were being raised by grandma. And she brought them to this church. And so they came Sunday night, and I got to pray with them. Well, the cool thing is that a month ago, I got to go back to Graham, Texas and preach in that church myself and take some students from Bethel with me. So I got to do a follow-up. I got to see, how's this brother and sister doing? And really, they didn't even look the same to me. I checked, and people have told me that they've made dramatic improvement, and the Lord is bringing healing to them. They were really struggling in school and different things like that. And one of the students on my team gave the young man a word about that he's going to be one of the political leaders in that town someday. And, man, you should have seen him straighten right up and put his shoulders back, you know. It was just so encouraging. You know, one word from heaven can just really touch somebody in a powerful and deep way. And that's something that has always excited me. I've always love the idea that the Lord is speaking to us, and he wants to teach us how to discern his voice, how to be led by the Holy Spirit, how to find out what he's saying for ourselves and for other people so that, you know, it can change us. I love the Bible, and I'm such a student of the Bible, and I have been my whole life. I can even remember as a little boy going to bed at night, and my mom always prayed with me and tucked me in at night and had prayer with me at night. But I remember having my Bible with me and just holding my Bible and falling asleep holding my Bible. I've just loved the Word of God my entire life. But to be honest with you, I think sometimes we replace the voice of the Holy Spirit with the Bible. And we can't make that mistake because you don't have to pick. You don't have to choose the Bible over the voice of the Holy Spirit. We get to have both. That's one of the rich blessings that God has provided for us. It's a relationship with him. I want to tell you another funny story about learning to be led by the Holy Spirit, learning to hear what the Lord is saying. So out at Bethel, if any of you don't know what I'm talking about there, there's a church out in California called Bethel Church, and Bill Johnson's the senior leader there, and so my wife and I and daughter have just spent 3 years out there. And one of the things that they really, really emphasize is this whole idea that you can hear the Holy Spirit. And that's something that I really wanted to grow in. So I was like, you know, I've got to learn this, you know. Even after pastoring a church for 32 years, how many of you know we can keep on growing? I mean, I think that's why I'm so excited about being a Christian today is I'm always wanting to grow. I'm always wanting to learn. You know, and so here I am. I'm old enough to be a grandpa to some of these students I'm in class with, you know, out there at Bethel. But I was loving it. I'm telling you, I was just having so much fun being a student. What can I learn? So we had this group, and we were working together on a ministry. This was part of the school. It was part of our class. And there was 7 of us, and we had this prayer meeting. And this was like at the beginning of the school year. And the leader said, now, what we're going to do is we're going to have each of you sit in a chair here in the middle. And then I just want the others to just ask the Holy Spirit to give you a word that would encourage that person sitting in the chair. And we'll take turns, okay? And this always makes me feel pressure. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know, I'm on the spot. When it's my turn to give a word, they're all going to be staring at me. And so I'm going to be like, I get all uptight about it, you know. Can I hear the Lord? So while someone else is praying over her, I'm like, Lord, please show me something. And I see a picture of an elephant. And I was like, seriously, Lord? You've got to give me more than that. So I'm like, elephant, what about it? What about it, Lord? You got to give me more than that. I can't just say elephant. Nothing. All I'm getting is elephant. So then I'm telling the Lord, well, I'm not giving that word to that woman because you can't say elephant to a woman. You know, you don't want to say, now, when I'm looking at you, here's what I hear from heaven. Elephant. It's just like, I was like, Lord, I'm not giving that word. That's just, you're going to, you know, that's sad. That's sad. I mean, you know, I'm trying to learn here, but you got to do better than that. So I didn't give her the word elephant. I was too embarrassed. I was like, this is silly, you know. And then you're doubting whether you even heard from God. Have you ever tried that where then you're even like, I don't even think that was God. So that's what I was saying. I was like, I must have missed it. That couldn't be a word from God. So anyway, everybody gave her their word. And then when we were done, she says to us, this is what she said. I just want to thank everybody for praying over me, and the words that you gave me were super encouraging. But honestly, when I sat down here, this is what I said to the Lord. Lord, please have somebody say elephant to me today. I am totally serious. That's what she said. She said that the Lord had been using elephants to speak to her for 3 straight weeks, and she was wanting a confirmation. And so, you know, I had to apologize to her. I was like, I am so sorry. I have the word elephant, and I was too afraid to give you that word. Then, big dummy that I am, I turn around and just happen to see that behind me on the wall in this person's house was this gigantic photograph of an elephant. You know, it's like, maybe it isn't as hard to be led by the Lord as we'd make it out to be, you know. It's like, elephant, elephant, you know. It's like, even that was a confirmation, but I missed it. So, you know, I share that because that's been part of my journey, and it's something that I feel we're all called to. Every believer has been invited into such a relationship with the Lord that we get to hear his voice. And honestly, that is why he saved us. You know, some people think, well, you know, why did you get saved? So I don't have to go to hell. So I could get my sins forgiven. Did you know that that isn't actually why the Lord saved you? He didn't save you just to get you out of hell. He saved you to bring you into his family. He saved you so that he could put his spirit inside of you. He saved you so that you could have a friendship with God where he speaks to you and you get to hear him and you get to talk to him and he talks to you back. That's what our salvation's about. I'm preaching real good here this morning, aren't I? So I just want to share some Bible verses with you that kind of talk about this because we're called to this. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, and if you want to follow along with me, it's the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the Greek word right there is rhema. The Greek word for word is rhema. And that word rhema means the spoken word of God. So Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone, although we do a good job trying, don't we? How much longer till lunch anyway? Because I can't live by bread alone, but I still want some. 30 minutes. 30 minutes. He's already got the countdown clock going. Do you have a buzzer on your phone? Is it going to go off at noon? You're going to start hearing a voice from this side over here. And I just want to talk to you about the gift of discernment because that's my dad. So it's like, you know, it's, yeah. Then in Romans 10:17, the Apostle Paul said this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Greek word there is rhema. Faith comes by the spoken word of God to our hearts directly. Now, I just want to do a little quick survey. How many of you have ever felt like God spoke to you directly and you knew it was God speaking to you? Raise your hand up. Look at this. Almost everybody has their hand up. Now, here's another follow-up question. When that happened, did you feel like faith just ignited in your heart because you heard from God? I mean, it's powerful. It's actually powerful. Because when you know that you've heard from God, it's like it gives you a confidence, you know, about whatever it is he said. It's like it's going to be hard for the devil to talk you out of that because you already heard from God. Isn't that right?
And I love that about the spoken word of God. And that's why Paul said that's how faith comes. Faith comes by that direct word from the Holy Spirit right into your heart. And then we know in Romans 1:17, the Apostle Paul said, the just shall live by faith, which was actually an Old Testament verse that the Apostle Paul basically said, this is actually New Testament too. Not everything from the Old Testament gets transferred over to the New Testament, because there's two different covenants. And the new covenant is a better covenant based on better promises than the old covenant. But here's a verse from the old covenant, and Paul's like, it's still true, even in the new covenant. The just shall live by faith. So we live by faith, but you can't have faith without the direct voice of God, which is why Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, but by every direct word that comes from heaven, from our Father to our hearts. It's how we live. It's how we live this Christian life. It's how we live our own lives. It's how we stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it's how we're able to be a powerful witness to the people who don't know Jesus yet. Amen?
Amen.
Is being able to hear what is the Holy Spirit saying for that person. And I love that. And Pastor Brad and I and Sharon, we got to have lunch this week and had a really good heart-to-heart talk. And man, this guy... You guys are so blessed to have a pastor that goes after the very thing I'm preaching on today. He loves this. I mean, when he meets strangers, his first question is, what is the Holy Spirit saying that maybe I could share with that person? I love that about Brad. I love that. And he's such a good example of that. I think it's why this church is so blessed. In fact, I have a prophetic word I want to encourage you with as I was praying about Grace Point Community Church. And I must have, like, vaguely remembered that the lighthouse was part of your church logo when I looked at your website or something, but I didn't see it that way. What I was seeing was like a giant radio receiver. And then when I actually looked at your website, I was like, oh, no, that's a lighthouse. But as I was praying, I was seeing it like a giant radio receiver that this church is pulling in the frequencies of heaven and then transmitting them out into this community. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, they've got a strong signal. They've got a really strong signal. And I just want to encourage you with that for Grace Point Community Church. And Pam, I have a word for you. One of the things that Steve Backlund does, he takes people's names and then he asks the Lord to give a prophetic word for each of the letters of the person's name. And as I was praying for Pam, this is what I felt the Holy Spirit said. Powerful angels matter. Powerful angels matter. And it made me think about that story in Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel, you know, set his heart to pray for the fulfillment of a prophetic word concerning Israel. And it says, you know, that 21 days went by. And then finally, Gabriel, the angel, came to Daniel and said, from the very moment that you started praying, I was sent to you with the answer. But then there was spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, and Michael, the archangel, was sent to help me, to break through, to bring the answer to you. And so I don't know, you'll have to take that. I don't know whether the Lord uses you in intercessory prayer, but most pastors' wives are used in intercessory prayer, and I'm sure you pray a lot for this church. And I just want you to be encouraged that the Lord is saying powerful angels matter, and your prayers are very connected to that as the pastor's wife of this church. So I just want to encourage Pam with that. And I have a word for Brad, but I'm not going to give it yet because it's in the middle of my message and I haven't even got into my introduction yet. So, but we got a counter going on back here somewhere. The buzzer's going to go off at noon, so I'm safe. Praise the Lord. So, you know, this whole idea of having this direct communication with the Lord is something that the enemy has fought the church throughout its entire history. Now, I grew up Roman Catholic, and in our church, you know, we were taught that you can't even ask forgiveness of your sins without the help of your priest. You know, you go to your priest and you give confession of your sins, and then the priest absolves you. He's actually the instrument by which you receive your forgiveness of your sins, and this is part of their tradition. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm trying to make a point here that there's some thinking in a lot of Christians' minds that, you know, I've got to have a mediator. Somebody's got to do this for me. I can't have access to the Holy Spirit directly. I've got to have somebody else help me, whether it be Brad. You know, it's like, I got to go to Pastor Brad. I've got an important decision to make, and I don't know what to do. I've got to get counsel from Pastor Brad because I know he hears from the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you have a Christian friend that is really strong in hearing the Holy Spirit, and you're like, man, I got to go get advice from them because I know they can hear from God. And you know, and we have that idea. And in church history, you know, we've seen, you know, people relying on the Pope or relying on their priest or relying on the saints or relying on their pastor or relying on the televangelist. You know, it's like, I can't get any healing. I've got to call into the televangelist and have them pray for me, you know, to get a breakthrough, to get a miracle from God or something like that. And Hebrews 12:25 actually says this, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, talking about the Lord. This is in the New Testament. Did you know that the Lord speaks? He speaks. And you know what that means? That means that if he speaks, we can hear him. Remember when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep know my what? Voice. My voice. Well, you need to know his voice because he speaks. And I'm just encouraging everybody here that he speaks, and that if you're a believer already, you are his sheep and you know his voice. You couldn't have even received him as your Savior if you didn't have the ability to hear his voice. Because the Bible says that when you become a Christian, your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit that you are now a child of God. So right at the very beginning, the first second that you received the Lord, you were already in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's how you knew. Isn't that exciting? So Paul says in Hebrews 12:25, or whoever wrote it, don't refuse him when he speaks. Man, when I read that, I was like, how many different ways have I refused the Lord when he speaks? Like when he gave me the word elephant. I refused it. I talked myself out of that word that would have been so encouraging to that woman, even though I talked myself out of it. How many times have we talked ourselves out of the Lord speaking to us? Now, I'm the type of guy, and you men will really appreciate when I say this. Women, oh my gosh, I don't even talk to you women. Women's intuition. Have you ever heard of men's intuition? No, because men don't have intuition. It's women's intuition. You are cheaters. You women are cheaters in the kingdom because you have a gift of intuition which gives you a head start over every man almost in being able to discern the Holy Spirit because it's a very intuitive thing. So for a long time, I would say the first 10 years even that I was a pastor, I really felt like I struggled to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit because he would speak to me just like the word elephant or just like the photograph of the giant elephant behind my head, and I would be clueless. Do you know the Lord speaks to us in a million different ways sometimes? Since I've gotten more intuitive, now I've noticed the Holy Spirit speak to me through the license plate of the car in front of me. Have you ever had the Lord speak to you through somebody else's license plate? I've had him do that, yeah. In other words, we have to train ourselves to be way more discerning, to pay a lot more attention because he speaks a lot. And as a man, I just wasn't very intuitive. So I feel like a lot of the words that the Lord was trying to give me were just like whoop, 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 just flying past my head. And I was missing it. And then I would go to my prayer closet and I would be like, Lord, how come you don't speak to me like you speak to so many other Christians? I'm a pastor after all. I mean, it was just so frustrating, you know. And then later, as I developed this intuitive side of me, I realized he was speaking to me all along. And I was just ignorant. I was just missing a lot of it, you know. So I just want to encourage you guys about that. You got to develop that side of you. Pay more attention. I was traveling with Steve Backlund this past year, and we were in Minnesota, and we were sitting in a church on the front row, and they were having worship. Steve Backlund leans over to me, and he says, "Hey, look up there on the platform, and just look around at what's up there on the platform, and see if the Holy Spirit speaks to you about anything." And I'm like, "What are you talking about, you know?" And so then he leans over and he says, "See that box of tissues up there? This is what the Holy Spirit's saying to me about that box of tissues." And I'm like, you know, but what I loved about what he was doing was he was paying attention. He was saying, "Let's pay attention. Let's look around. Let's see if anything is highlighted. Let's see if the Holy Spirit speaks to us using something." Because a lot of times he'll use something to bring a message to us about something else, you know. And Steve just does that all the time. And the thing I love about it is Steve's just like me. He's very left-brained, analytical type person. So I can really identify with him. And I think for many years he and I were the same. He didn't have any intuition either. And he had to really develop that. And now he just pays attention all the time. What is the Holy Spirit saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying? You know, I think some churches and some Christians have made this mistake. They've come up with and invented a new Trinity. How many of you believe in the Trinity? Okay. But I think some have come up with a new Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Bible. They've removed the Holy Spirit out of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Bible. What about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, that is the Trinity. I'm not inventing something here. The Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't think when we were given the beautiful gift of the Bible that God ever intended us to kick the Holy Spirit out of the Trinity and put the Bible in the Holy Spirit's place. Bono, one of my favorite singers of the band U2, he's a believer, and he said, "Religion is what happens when the Spirit has left the building." When we kick the Holy Spirit out of the Trinity, we really get a lot of religion. And I don't want religion. I don't know. I mean, don't you want a real, vital, living relationship with the Lord? Man. So I just want to give you some examples of this whole concept, because this isn't some novel idea, you know, that we're just coming up with here at the, you know, 2,000 years into Christianity. This is actually all through the Bible. So let's just talk about some famous Bible characters. I want to start with Noah and how, you know, God told Noah to build the ark, right? This gigantic ship in the middle of a desert. And it took him and his sons, I forget how many decades to build that thing, because, you know, God just told him to do it. And there's a wonderful verse about Noah in Genesis 6:9, and in the Amplified Bible, it says this: "Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God." Whoa! Noah walked in habitual fellowship with his God. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you would love to have that on your tombstone someday? "Here lies, he walked in habitual fellowship with his God." Noah didn't have a Bible. He didn't even have the Old Testament, let alone the New Testament. But he had an habitual fellowship with his God. Isn't that beautiful? Think about Abraham. All of the faith things that Abraham did just based on the fact that he thought God was talking to him. You know, he didn't grow up in a Christian home. He didn't grow up in a Jewish home. There wasn't any such thing as a Jewish home. Abraham's the father of the Jewish people. Right? So he didn't grow up in a Christian home. He didn't grow up in a Jewish home. He had no Bible. His parents and all of his family were idol worshipers. right? And then God says, I want you to pull up roots, and I want you to leave your homeland, and I'll show you where you're going to end up. And Abraham did it. He did it just based on his confidence that he was hearing the voice of God. That he was actually hearing the voice of God. He didn't have a Bible. So he didn't have the option of replacing the voice of God with the Bible, like a lot of us do today. He didn't have that option. He didn't have a Bible. He had to rely on the voice of God. Now, wait a minute. Noah could hear the voice of God. Abraham could hear the voice of God. That's Old Testament. These are people in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. We're in the New Covenant, a better covenant. They didn't have the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of them like we do as Christians. Why should they have it better than we do? Because to me, it doesn't get any better than hearing the voice of God. Amen?
Amen.
How about Joseph? How many of you love Joseph of the Old Testament? Remember Joseph in the coat of many colors, and he had this amazing dream from God, and he was just a teenager, and he made the mistake of telling his brothers about the dream. And boy, did that make them mad, you know. And then they betray him, and they try to kill him. They sell him as a slave to Egypt. And all through that, he kept his heart humble. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get mad at God. God, why'd you give me that dream? Look, my whole life is ruined now because you gave me that dream. No, we have no record that Joseph ever had that kind of bad attitude about it. In fact, he kept his heart right. Even as a servant or a slave to Potiphar in Egypt, the Bible says that he had this ongoing relationship with the Lord, and the Lord prospered everything that Joseph put his hand to, and Potiphar's house was being prospered because Joseph was in charge of the household, right? And then you remember the story, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce Joseph. He resists her. That makes her mad. So she accuses him of rape. He gets arrested and thrown into prison. And then what does the Bible say? It says, Joseph kept his heart right. He continued to have this relationship with the voice of God. And that he prospered in prison, and the warden of the prison put him in charge of all the other prisoners. You don't see any point in there where he's like, why did you ever give me this dream? Why did you give me that dream from heaven? Why did you ever show everything that's in the dream, the opposite has happened to me. Have you ever seen that in your life where God showed you something and then just the opposite starts happening? And you know the Bible does say, remember in the parable of the sower Jesus taught, he said when the word of the Lord is planted, the enemy comes immediately to try to take it away. So when the Lord speaks to us, one of the first things the devil does is try to rob that from us. That's what he tried to do to Joseph. But Joseph hung on to that dream. He had a powerful dream that ultimately rescued the nation of Egypt and all the nations around Egypt from a terrible famine. And he fulfilled his destiny because he had the ability to receive a dream from heaven. Have you ever had a dream that you knew was from God? Literally, I'm talking about a dream in your sleep. How many of you? Just a few of you are raising your hands, but you know what? I believe this is a very common way that the Lord speaks to his people. It's like, oh, that sounds weird. No, what sounds weird is the dreams you typically have that you remember. That's what's weird. I'm talking about what's not weird is when you start paying attention to the dreams that the Lord gives you. You don't seem to have any embarrassment or problem telling people about your weird dreams. But I'm talking about the ones that are from God. Because God uses dreams. It's all through the New Testament. You're like, is that in the Bible? It's all through the Old Testament, and it's all through the New Testament. God's speaking to us through dreams. I love that. And then how many of you remember Samuel, the prophet Samuel in the Old Testament? And you remember that his mom and dad couldn't have a baby, and they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally she gets pregnant. And so she says to the Lord, when he's born, we're going to dedicate him to the ministry of the Lord. So they actually turn him over to the care of the prophet Eli, I think it was. And so Samuel's just a little boy. And listen to this in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Now you can tell by the way that verse is written, that's not a positive comment. The word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. Now this is in the Old Testament. But basically God is saying, I don't like this. This isn't my best. It's not right that the word of the Lord would be rare. And that it would be rare that the Lord is revealing himself to people. That's rare. That's not God's best. And that was in the Old Testament. And then listen to this amazing verse. Verse 7. 1 Samuel 3:7 says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And when I read that, I was like, maybe there's a truth there that would go like this. Maybe none of us can really know the Lord until the word of the Lord is revealed to us. Or maybe we only can know the Lord at the level that the word of the Lord is revealed to us. How much are we receiving of his word? Because the more we receive from him, the more we know him. Isn't that true? You know why I know my wife so well, and we're going to celebrate 37 years here in a couple weeks of marriage. You know why I know her so well? Because she talks to me. I know her very well. If she didn't talk to me, I probably wouldn't know her very well. You know, I have to tell you a funny story. Bev and Howie are here. They're some of my good friends, and we've rode motorcycles all over the United States together. And one of our first big trips we ever did, we knew we were going to be on the motorcycle for 2 weeks. And this was our first big trip, so my wife and I came up with this brilliant idea that we were going to get headset communication devices for our helmets so we could talk to each other on the motorcycle. And I couldn't figure out why all the other men in the motorcycle group were snickering at me. Because none of them had communication devices with their wives. You know, until about 3 days into the trip, I was like, oh, that's why they're snickering at me. And then I'm like, honey, I can't hear you. This device isn't working very well. Turn it up. I got it up on full volume. I can't understand anything you're saying, you know. I'm teasing her a little bit. But she was having, because that was our first big trip, she was like, you think you're too close to the edge of the road, you need to move over. Now you're too close to the center of the road, you need to move over this way, you know. And she's like giving me backseat advice literally on the motorcycle, you know. And then I'm like, for some reason, this device isn't working anymore, you know. But we know each other very well because I'm a very good communicator and my wife is a really good communicator. And I think that's one of the reasons we've always had a really strong marriage is because we're good at speaking to one another and revealing ourselves to each other. Because maybe you can't really know someone except to the level that they can reveal themselves to you. And that's kind of what I think this verse means, where it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I love that. I love that. But it is kind of sad. But you know what? That isn't our destiny. That isn't our calling. Our calling is not that the word of the Lord would be rare in your life, or the Lord never reveals anything to you. It should not be rare. It should be a daily occurrence. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from heaven directly to your heart. Right? Well, what about the New Testament? I love the story, the Christmas story, you know, where Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby. And Mary's like, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. What are you talking about? And Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. God's power is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive supernaturally. And then Luke 1, verse 37, it says, for with God, this is Gabriel speaking for God, says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. That's what he says to Mary. For with God, nothing will be impossible. So I'm preparing my Christmas message 1 year for Family of Faith, where I pastored. And I was every Christmas, I was like, Lord, I don't want to just preach the same Christmas message every year. I mean, when you pastor in the same church for 32 years, you know, you can start repeating your messages. So I was like, Lord, I want a fresh message. I want to share something new and fresh. So I started digging into the Greek of that verse. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And this is what it says in the Greek language. For with God, no rhema will be without dunamis. And those are two Greek words. Rhema is the direct spoken word of the Lord to your heart from the Holy Spirit. And dunamis is the Greek word where we get the English word dynamite, which is the power of God from heaven. So basically what Gabriel was telling Mary is, I've given you a direct word from heaven, and God will back it up with his power. And that's how you'll end up pregnant, and that's how you'll have the Messiah. Okay? So here's my word for Pastor Brad, because I was waiting until I got to that verse to give you your word, Brad. This is what I heard. Bountiful rhemas and dunamis. Bountiful rhemas and dunamis. When I thought about B-R-A-D. B-R-A-D. Bountiful rhemas and dunamis. And that's why I wanted to wait till I read that verse, because that's a verse that has rhema and dunamis right in it. But Pastor Brad goes after rhema. He really goes after it. What is the Holy Spirit saying right now? And every time you receive that, Pastor Brad, dunamis from heaven is released. And I just believe it's just going to increase bountifully in your life. Amen?
Amen?
Man, I love that. So, one more story. Because I gave you some stories from the Old Testament, I'm giving you some stories from the New Testament. One more New Testament story. So how many of you remember the story in Acts chapter 10 where the apostle Peter goes up on the rooftop in Joppa for lunch and he like starts to fall asleep and he falls into a trance. And you remember that in the trance he sees this sheet from heaven come down and all these unclean animals in the sheet he sees. And then he hears a voice say, kill and eat. Now, Peter's Jewish. And his response immediately is, we don't eat that stuff. Those are unclean animals. We're forbidden as Jewish people to eat unclean animals. And why are you telling me to kill and eat these unclean animals? Okay? So Peter is having this amazing trance from heaven. Which is, it was one of the most extremely significant revelations in all of history. Because here's what God was saying to Peter. The salvation of Jesus is available to everybody, even if they're not Jewish. Because up until that moment, this is what the early church thought. If a Gentile man wanted to become a Christian, they had to become a Jew first to become a Christian. And so when you signed up to become a Christian in the early church, instead of being water baptized as the first step, they had another step called circumcision for the men. How many of you guys are just thankful that we just require water baptism now? I'm serious. You're laughing, but this is what they were doing in the early church. There was no way for a Gentile man to become a Christian without being circumcised and water baptized. And so God is saying to Peter, as one of the leaders of the early church, salvation is for the Gentiles just as equally for the Jews. You are to no longer call Gentiles unclean. This was a major shift because you have to understand that from the time of Abraham and Moses till this trance that Peter's having, this is how the Jewish people believed about Gentiles, that they were unclean. We're talking about several thousand years of church tradition being broken by this trance. Okay? Significant, because remember, Peter didn't have the New Testament yet. The early church leaders didn't have the New Testament yet. What did they need in order to lead the church? They needed the direct voice of the Holy Spirit. In this case, it came through a dream or a trance. Because the direct voice of the Holy Spirit can come to us in a million different ways. Okay? So I love that. But here's the other part of the story that's so fun. And I want you to go to Acts chapter 10 with me, and we're going to wrap up with this. Acts chapter 10. Is anybody getting blessed here today? You getting anything out of this? Acts chapter 10. How many of you ever listened to Bill Johnson preach out at Bethel? Some of you have. So Bill is this super, super quiet and calm Bible teacher. And he doesn't ever seem to get excited about anything. You know, when he preaches and teaches. And it's amazing. I love Bill Johnson. I probably have never heard anybody release wisdom from the scripture and from God's kingdom the way Bill Johnson does. But he's just so quiet and calm about the way he does it. And every once in a while, when Bill's preaching, he'll say something powerful, and people will just be sitting there like this. And it's usually because we're having a hard time even keeping up with what he's saying. And then he'll make a joke about, well, if you're not going to get excited about what I'm saying, I'm going to go over here and say it to this side of the room. You know, and Bill will do that all the time. And when he started doing that, my first thought was, Bill, you're not even excited about it. Why are you getting on us for not being excited? You're not even excited about it. You know, because I'm the type of preacher that, how can I expect you to get excited about what I'm preaching if I'm not even excited about it? You know what? So I could teach Bill a couple of things, but he won't listen to me. But that's his style, and actually, I've really thought about this. I think it's one of the reasons that people listen to him all over the world is because he's so calm. I think if he was excited like I am, it would scare some people off. I think he's so calm that it like reassures people. It's like, well, what he's saying is just crazy, wild revelation of wisdom of God, but he says it in such a calm voice that people are like, okay, I believe it. So I've tried to figure him out. But anyway, Acts chapter 10, and I want to look at verse 1, because this is the same story about Peter that I was just telling you, except this is the flip side of the story. So there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. I want everybody to say, thank God for Cornelius. A centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. In other words, he was a Roman army officer. He was not Jewish. He was a Roman army officer living in Caesarea in Israel. He's probably one of the most hated men in Israel because the Roman army was occupying Israel. Okay? A devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and he prayed to God always. So even though he's a Roman army officer, he has a heart after God. I mean, he's probably one of the few Roman army officers living in Israel at that time that had a heart after God. He was an unusual man, Cornelius. Verse 3, about the ninth hour of the day, Cornelius saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius! Now, this is Cornelius. This isn't Peter, who some people think is the first pope. So in that case, we can kind of say to ourselves, well, of course Peter had a trance on the rooftop and got this amazing revelation from heaven that the Gentiles are not to be called unclean anymore. This salvation is available to them just as equally as it is to the Jews. Peter's one of the leaders of the church. Of course, he's going to get something supernatural from God. But this is Cornelius having this experience. And what does it say? It says, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and he said, what is it, Lord? And so he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now I want you to send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you need to do. Now, let me just ask everybody a question. Is that a pretty specific direction from heaven for Cornelius? He's like, here's what I want you to do. Is I want you to assign a couple of your guys, and I want you to send them to Joppa, and I want you to look for this particular man who's staying at this other particular man's house. This is very specific word from God, isn't it? And the reason I'm celebrating this story today about Cornelius is that sometimes I think we have this religious idea that, well, yeah, Peter, of course he got a vision from God. Of course Cornelius heard the direct leading of the Lord. Peter did. But I want you to notice this was Cornelius. And Cornelius is having the exact same kind of direct communication with the Lord as Peter was. God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have a word that he gives the pastor and then the rest of us get the crumbs or something like that. You know, or God has a special fusing, a few chosen, you know, that he reveals himself to and then the rest of us just have to struggle by trying to figure out what God might be saying to us. No, no. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit is equal for every one of us. I just want to encourage you with that today. He didn't just do it for Peter. He did it for that Roman army officer, Cornelius, who you might say didn't deserve it at all. You know, he had no covenant with God. He wasn't Jewish. He was actually the enemy. God revealed himself to the enemy just like he revealed himself to Peter. You could say it that way. Because he's no respecter of persons. And so, in closing, I want you to repeat after me some things. And the first one is this incredible verse from Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. And I remember Brother Hagin used to teach that he would pray this every day as a pastor. He would pray this every day over himself and over his church. And it's the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is a prayer that I want all of you to really begin praying over yourselves every day, that you have been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened or open. Okay? So, I want you to repeat after me. Say, I follow the good shepherd, and I know his voice. Whew, just let that sink in for a minute. Whoa, that's John chapter 10. I follow the good shepherd and I know his voice. This one's from Psalm 32, 8. Say this, the Lord guides me, along the best path for my life. He advises me, and he watches over me. This one's from Proverbs 3:6 in the New Living Translation. Say this, as I seek the Lord, in all I do, he shows me which path to take. Man. These are some amazing promises from Scripture. Romans 11:8 talks about how God had given the generation at Jesus' time, the Jewish people, a spirit of stupor where their eyes were blind and their ears were deaf. But you know what? That's exactly the opposite of what his will is for us. And so I want you to say this, I do not have a spirit of stupor. Or stupid, as the case may be. I don't have that either. Say, I don't have that one either. I am not spiritually blind. And I am not spiritually deaf. So, Lord, I just thank you today for opening up our ears and opening up our eyes and our hearts to be able to see what you're doing, to be able to hear your voice in our lives, to be led by you in our for our families, for our personal life, but also for our witness to everybody around us, Lord, because we know you're speaking. We know you're speaking. We know that you have a voice. And we set our hearts to listen. And help us, Lord, to trust you and do what you tell us to do. Even if it's the word elephant. Lord, help us. We just thank you for that today. We love you, Lord. We celebrate you today, Lord. You are awesome. You are awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I just have a couple of words of knowledge that I want to check here before we offer prayer for the service today. So I asked the Lord if there was anything that he wanted me to pray healing for or just pray for. And one thing that I felt like I saw was maybe somebody struggling with a problem with your blood. Some kind of blood condition, some kind of blood infection or something like that. Is there anybody that needs prayer because you've been dealing with something involving your blood? Is there anybody here that needs prayer for that? Back there in the back, anybody else? Right here? Okay, a couple of you. All right, here's another one. I just saw a hand. And so I don't know if anybody is having trouble with your hand or your hands, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say a prayer for your hands. Is there anybody that's needing that? Maybe arthritis or something like that. Okay, several of you need prayer for that. And then I just heard the word sheet or sheets, and I wasn't sure. And I thought, well, maybe that's somebody's name. Is there anybody here with the last name Sheet or Sheets? Is there anybody that needs to do laundry? Your bed sheets are just really dirty. And yeah, this brother has a witness on that word. He needs to. His sheets are just really needing prayer. So I don't know, but I just heard sheet or sheets, and so I didn't even know how to interpret